Well, guys, coming into the season, we knew it would be a little bit of a roller coaster to start the season. And you lose to the Jets, you've hit the bottom.
And I'm certainly glad they scored that touchdown with 5 seconds to go a week and a half ago. Otherwise, it would really be rock bottom.
Yeah, but I think you look at this game in particular. I said before the game it was going to be the Jets defense versus the Patriots offense, and the Jets defense clearly won. You know, that offense had a chance to put it away, and they just didn't do it.
I think when you look back, there's going to be a lot of talk about the flag, and we'll get to that, I'm sure. But when you look back, those are the possessions. It's 21-10. You had the ball three different times, twice at the end of the first half. Once you took over around midfield, once you got it to midfield, you couldn't do anything with it. Then you open the second half with a chance to put the hammer down again, and you throw a pick six, and it's game on. So
right.
I think you're right, Fred. The Jets defense, give them credit. They were better than the Patriots offense.
And the offensive line struggled for really the second time in 3 weeks here. The Bengals game, I don't think it's a coincidence that you go 1 of 12 on third down in both games. And both games, the early first quarter of the Bengals game, there was a sack that would stun a drive, another sack that would stun a drive. You couldn't get moving. The third quarter against the Jets, sack, stun a drive, sack, stun a drive. This offensive line has not met the challenge. And I think we saw it on the sideline when Logan Mankins was basically calling the troops together and saying, you know, in today's text language, WTF is going on around here. And they need to play better. All the other things have excuses. To me, there's no excuse for the offensive line getting their hats on.
So you're looking at the offensive line.
Yes, as the core reason. They're not rookies. They're not new. They're not getting old. They're not whatever other banged up. Whatever excuses you want to throw out there, the offensive line doesn't have them. They're just not playing.
Well, we certainly saw Logan Mankins on the sideline
really
laying into his teammates there. So he saw something, too, that he felt he needed to speak up about.
And he's talked a lot about inconsistency, but I'm not even sure it's inconsistency. I think when they've played a pretty physical, good defensive front, they failed to match up with that. Their good games seem to come against when they can overpower people or speed-based defenses or defenses that aren't that good. When they actually have to fight, they lose the fight.
Well, you know, I think the Jets have a good front, and I didn't expect the Patriots to stop them throughout the game. But the 1-for-12 on third down, it wasn't all because of pressure. A lot of times, I think, you know, it just Brady, I don't know, wasn't looking any further than Gronk, but 17 targets to Gronk in his first game back. A lot of those were in those key situations. You know, maybe some of the blame has to do with Brady and or the play calling a little bit.
Well, I think that Brady certainly, you know, this is, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks in a row we're saying this. And I think, you know, Andy, you mentioned the touchdown pass against New Orleans with 5 seconds left. I think that obscured what was really another uneven performance by the passing offense. Now, we can argue, all of us, till the cows come home. Is it because of the rookie receivers? Is it because of the lack of familiarity? Whatever the reason is, the passing offense hasn't been cohesive all year long. They had one game, I thought, in Atlanta where it looked like a facsimile of what we're used to. Basically, the other six games has been some good plays, some bad plays, and now all of a sudden, a total lack of pass protection to throw into that. So whether it's Brady's inaccuracy or play calling or however we want to place it, it just hasn't been good enough consistently, really, all season long. And, you know, yeah, you're going to get Amendola back at some point, hopefully, and maybe down the road you'll get Vereen back. But I'm not sure that the answers are on the roster.
Well, what did you think about Gronk's first day back? Had over 100 yards catching, but took a lot of catches to get to there.
Yeah, well,
or a lot of targets, I should
say. No, I know what you meant. And I was a little bit concerned with the amount of times they did throw the ball to him, but I thought for the most part he looked like a reasonable, version of himself. We knew it wasn't going to be perfect. The 30-yard down the seam in the first drive of the game, that's the big play element from the tight end that this offense has been lacking. And I thought that was a huge play to see that right away. And also to see him, I think, on his first catch, take some good contact around that area and pop right up. There was a lot of things to be very excited about with Gronkowski. I thought as the game went on, he looked like he got a little tired, which is understandable. I thought he stumbled a little bit coming out of some breaks. And again, maybe we didn't need to lean on him 17 times to try to make a play, but I think Gronkowski is going to be just fine. I don't think that's going to be part of the problem going forward.
And I didn't think we saw any, other than maybe being tired, I didn't think the injury appeared.
Nope.
You know, other than the fact that he had that large black apparatus or whatever you want to call it on his arm.
I think you trained German shepherds with that.
Here's what it kind of looks like. Yeah. Looked a little bit J.J. Watt-like,
right,
or J.J.
Right,
Watt was.
Right.
It was big. Yeah. But, you know, I'm not sure you can get Brady to not throw to Gronk. That's the problem. When he's on the field,
well, that could be a problem.
Option, but I don't see it as a problem. Yeah. He's the biggest, strongest, longest arm, best-handed receiver Brady has. That's where I'd be throwing
too. I don't think you can force anything to anyone. You shouldn't be forcing.
I think we
That's a bad word when you're talking about an offense.
I think you were a couple makeable catches away from Rob Gronkowski winning the game for the Patriots, putting himself on the cover of PFW, and you praising him as the greatest player in the history of the world and go to him all the time.
Obviously, you know, the kick at the end of the game, the penalty. By now, I think things have a little bit calmed down. I think that Patriots Nation realizes we weren't necessarily robbed.
We was robbed.
And Bill Belichick took the blame for it. He took the responsibility.
I know, he did.
They should have known better. They'll move on. It cost him a game.
Yeah.
They won't do it again. As an NFL coach, you really can't cost yourself more than a game. I mean, there's with only 16 games, the games matter. Right. He knows that in some way he cost his team a football
game. But at the end of the day, that wasn't it. It was the offense that cost the game.
And the offensive line.
It's no secret that the Patriots' offense is really searching for some consistency and some production. And to me, the answer is pretty simple. You've got to run the ball a little bit more often and a little bit more consistently than they have. And to me, that all comes down to Stephen Ridley. I think that he is clearly the number one ball carrier on this team, and there are too many times where he disappears from the offense for long stretches. On Sunday in New York, you saw that happen. Brandon Bolden is the third down back, and he's out there. I want to see Ridley out there 75, 80% of the time, and I want to see him around 20 carries every week. It happened once against New Orleans, and it hasn't happened enough. Stephen Ridley is the guy. Lean on him. Josh McDaniels, commit to the run. We all knew losing Aqib Talib was really going to impact that secondary in a negative way, and that was the case in New York. Jeremy Curley really had his way with those guys. But one thing that I saw that I really liked was rookie Logan Ryan and the way he stepped in and performed pretty well. He had the huge play on the pick six, 79-yard return, did a nice job on David Nelson, stayed inside, kept his leverage, and really jumped on a bad throw by Geno Smith. But overall, I thought he was very competitive. He gave up some plays too, and certainly it wasn't perfect, but I thought for a rookie with his first really extended playing time, there's a lot to like about Logan Ryan. Welcome back to New England, Andre Carter. I personally am very excited about this move because Carter was one of my favorites. I loved the impact that he had on that locker room back in 2011. He played very well on the field with 10 sacks in about 12 games. But more so to me, it was the veteran leadership. And I think that's why Bill Belichick wanted to bring him back now. I think this also opens up some possibilities defensively. Once he gets settled in here, I think he can play a defensive end spot. It allows you to maybe use Rob Ninkovich as a linebacker. But if anything, it allows you some depth on the outside, some extra pass rushing ability, and again, a very solid veteran presence in the locker room.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
How do you guys get that to the coaching staff and say, let us run the football?
Morning Meeting is brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Please drink responsibly.
Images of the Week. It was the return of Gronk, so I figured, why not? Here's a good picture of that arm pad that he had on. It's always good to get that first hit out of the way. One thing we saw, he still has that separation speed. They're going to need it this season. And finally, here's one that almost sealed the game for the Patriots.
Player Perspective is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
We have Patriots guard Dan Conley with us. This is a big-time honor. I think you only speak to Comcast Sportsnet when we do this interview on Patriots Football Weekly. Is that right?
I think so. I think you're right.
Yeah, you're usually pretty quiet in here.
Yeah.
Offensive line situation. I know you guys want to run the football more often. Talked to Logan a little bit about this earlier. How do you get that sort of mentality where you know you're going to be able to run the ball every week instead of, you know, against New Orleans, it's a lot of carries and then not as many against the Jets. How do you guys get that to the coaching staff and say, let us run the football?
You know, it's not something we can just go to them and tell them. You know, obviously they've got a job and they make a plan for the offense. the way that we can run the ball more is if we show that we can run the ball. So we just got to go out and do our job and play hard. And if we do well running the ball, they'll keep calling them.
So as many times as you guys always tell us, you know, we're offensive linemen. We want to run the football. You only tell us, you don't never say anything to them?
Coaches coach and players play.
Good answer, Dante. See, good answer from your boy right there. This Miami team is certainly pretty formidable up front, just like the Jets and just like Cincinnati. Similarities a little bit between the Dolphins and the Bengals specifically?
You know, I'm not sure about that. I know they've got some big guys up front. They've got Solia. They've got Starks. Those guys are great at getting that, you know, wake on the edge. They got good guys that can get to the quarterback, like Cincinnati had. You know, we've got a challenge every week. We face a lot of good D-line. And, again, this week we're just going to have to put a lot of work in, study film, and know the guys we're playing against.
When you have a game like last week that you lose, obviously a tough overtime loss, do you just wish you could get back out in the field right away and you hate the week off? Or does it always, you know, as NFL players, you guys need that week off to sort of get ready and regroup?
Well, I think physically we always need that week off. It's always a tough one. But, yeah, I mean, you're itching to get back out there to prove yourself again. I mean, obviously we let one go, and you always want to win. So after a loss, sooner you can get out there and get a win under your belt, the better.
First thing that jumps off the page when you look at the Miami Dolphins is their offensive line is not very good. 31st in sacks allowed per pass play. It's why Ryan Tannehill has had a slow ascension in his second season. Even the Dolphins knew it. They went out this week. They traded for Bryant McKinney because Jonathan Martin has been terrible on the edge. Whoever plays this week, whether it's McKinney in his first week or Martin continuing to stink, Chandler Jones needs to own the matchup. Already has 6.5 sacks, has been stringing together good plays and good games week after week now. This is a chance for a breakout game against a bad left tackle to help the Patriots beat the Dolphins. Sticking with the defensive side of the ball for the Patriots, where the injuries are starting to add up. Obviously, Aqib Talib was out last week. The Jets had a couple more big plays. Miami is a team that can certainly get the ball down the field, whether it's Brian Hartline or Mike Wallace. They actually have 5 guys with a catch of 30 yards or longer this season. So the Patriots could use Talib back to cover one of those guys and take away the ball down the field, or they need better all-around teamwork in the back end, because big plays through the air is one of the few ways the Dolphins can win this game. Gronk was back last week at MetLife, but this Sunday, fans in New England get the homecoming of the superstar that is Gronk Nation in and of himself. Gronk had 8 catches, tying a career high last week. Another 100-yard game, most in franchise history now, passing Ben Coates, but he didn't find the end zone. The man who has averaged basically a touchdown per game over the last couple seasons, just keep throwing the ball to him. He's your best receiver, best hands, longest arms, biggest body. Brady, 17 might be a few too many, but don't be afraid to keep going to Gronk. He's the money man.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
If you risk breaking the rule with the game on the line, then you take the penalty that you get.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL, brought to you by Nissan.
So Peyton Manning returned to Indianapolis, his old stomping grounds, and suffered his first defeat. You know, it was a tough week. There was the war of words on Twitter with Jim Irsay against, I think, everyone except Peyton Manning. He stepped aside and did not partake in all that, but I think it did affect him. He really did love playing in Indianapolis. He really thought he was going to be a Colt for the rest of his life. And I think the whole week really had a bearing on him, and I think it might have contributed to the loss. So here's my idea. I got a video for Wes Welker when he comes. We're going to play that, have a nice tribute. Maybe it'll soften him up the same way.
Is it just me, or has anybody else noticed that the officials seem to be letting the defensive backs get away with a lot more contact in the secondary than in years past? It's pretty obvious. It seems like there are a lot more holds, a lot more illegal contact penalties that the defensive backs are getting away with. And this is a good thing because, really, right now, the way these passing games have been, it's become almost arena football-like. You have to do something to help the defenses out. And it was really apparent to me in that Indy-Denver game on Sunday night, the Colts defensive backs really got physical with Denver. Look, Denver still found a way to score 33 points, so that's not the be-all, end-all. But this is a good move. It might not have been a memo, but clearly the officials have gotten the message.
Who expected the Kansas City Chiefs to be the best team in football midway through the 2013 season? Well, maybe Andy Reid, because that's the job he picked when he ran out of time in Philadelphia. Clearly, the message got stale with the Eagles, and it was time for him to move on. But clearly, Andy Reid is still one of the best coaches in football. I know he doesn't have a Super Bowl ring, and Bill Belichick's part of the reason he doesn't. But he took Alex Smith. He's winning games with him. Not sure everybody can do that. And he took that defense. He made it the best in football. Andy Reid may not win the Super Bowl this year, but he is a great coach having a great season.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on.
It was certainly a controversial ending on Sunday, but were the Patriots robbed?
I'm not going to take the Patriots off the hook and say they were robbed. They didn't know the rule. That's fine. Belichick took the fault for it, the responsibility. Move on. The bottom line is you didn't play well enough to win, and you broke a rule that's not only on the books, that has sort of been an issue early in the season with other teams pointing out other teams breaking it and all that. So you didn't get robbed. You lost, and you deserve to lose.
Yeah, I give them some criticism for not knowing exactly how to teach this. And certainly Belichick saying this is not on Chris Jones, this is what we do. I give him responsibility for that. That's a problem. However, I find it awfully hard to believe that in 7 weeks of football, this is the one and only time in overtime that this play gets called. I find it impossible that this hasn't been able to be called until now with the game situation. I mean, let's face it, the game's on the line. The Patriots have a chance to get the ball around midfield. More than likely, they're going to close it out.
More than likely, there'll be a sack and they'll go backwards.
I hated this call. I hate the rule. I don't really like the rule at all. You want to talk about safety and all that. There's a lot of plays that aren't safe. It's football. This is another football play. I respect the players who supposedly put this forward to get this rule enacted. I don't like it.
First of all, part of the reason it hasn't been called is because they weren't calling it early in the year. And then the Ravens, Dolphins, the Dolphins get screwed by it. They send the tape in and they decide, you know, we need to make this a point. The rule is on the books. We need to call it. So that's part of the reason why you haven't seen it. It's only been a focal point for the last couple of weeks. That makes it even worse that the Patriots fall victim to it. You know, our smart boss tells me when they want to clean something up in the NFL, sometimes they even go past the line to reel everybody back in. I think every coach in the league learned a lesson. If you push on a field goal, whether it's overtime with the game on the line or not, we're going to call it. Don't do it. It's not worth it.
But again, are you suggesting that the Patriots are the only team that has pushed on a field goal?
No. The bottom line is these officials, when they're told from up above, we got to start calling this. It's a rule that's on the books. You're going to do your job. You're going to call it.
Well, I guess that's the part of it that I don't like the most. And that's why I feel like the Patriots were robbed, because all of a sudden we would put an extra emphasis on it 6-7 weeks into the season. Obviously, the officials had seen this happen before now, and they decided they weren't going to call it. So the league has to step in
and
make it
rules.
Tougher.
Just have rules on the book that everybody's allowed to ignore. Officials ignore them. Coaches ignore them. Defensive linemen ignore them. It's okay.
But if the Patriots,
we just put it there for
if,
a little
mouthpiece. If the Patriots got called for this or somebody else got called for this in week one, then maybe it would have gone away by now. Listen,
no,
they established the fact that, well, listen, you can move the line any way you want when they started to do it. It's been a rule for 7 weeks. It's been
right.
called once
and it was ignored
to the Patriots
for five
in overtime.
Weeks. It was ignored for
5 weeks.
I find
that too coincidental for my liking.
Well, you and the rest of Patriots Nation, but the reality is you should know the rule, you shouldn't break the rule, and if you risk breaking the rule with the game on the line, then you take the penalty that you get.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Nissan. Choose Nissan today for great offers on our most innovative lineup ever. Shop at ChooseNissan.com. New England Football Night is brought to you by AT&T. Rethink possible. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. Read and React, brought to you in part by Yokohama, engineering the most advanced tires on the road for nearly a century. Yokohama, technology drives better tires.
All right, time for your questions on TFW, but first, the Wilson Hart Power Index.
So I'm assuming you guys will be okay that the Broncos dropped a little, that they finally lost.
Well, it depends
on
where
and
how much.
No. The number one team remains the Seattle Seahawks, 6-1. Number two, we have the Saints. 3, the Chiefs. So I think you guys are okay. The Colts
okay.
stay at
the Saints.
4.
What are the Saints?
Okay, I'm going to get to number 5, and you guys are probably going to want to make fun of this. Moving up 7 spots at 3-3, the Carolina Panthers are the number 5 team in football.
Hey, their
so
defense
basically,
is playing
what
well.
You're telling me is if you have a good defense, you move up.
We both sides. Unlike the real NFL, we care about defense. So yes, defense matters. Patriots drop down 1 spot to number 8 in the rankings, but basically where they've been all season.
All right, enough of the power index. Let's get to the questions. This
get
first
to the garbage
one comes
after
from
the science.
Monty B.
He wants to,
yeah, maybe. He wants to know if there any more chance that the Patriots use the running game more.
Yeah, I think there is, and I think some of us want them to. You know, I think Stephen Ridley has run the ball well the last couple weeks. He had the 96 yards 2 weeks ago. This week didn't get a ton of chances, but was productive against a very good run defense. And you know me, I want the offensive line to start to lead this offense. Part of doing that is establishing the run, running the ball more. And I think that the whole trickle-down effect we always talk about, you know, the play-action passing game that they like to do, all the other things that come with it, Stephen Ridley's your lead back. Give him a chance to run the ball more.
Yeah, and he is the lead back.
The
I don't think there's any question about that.
The offensive line has to step up.
Yeah,
well, you got to do better.
And I think the running game would help them do that. Ben Davis writes in, he thinks that Julian Edelman isn't getting enough praise for the play that he's doing. He thinks he's as good as Amendola.
Well, I think Edelman's played pretty well this year. I'm not really sure where the criticism has come from. I think he's a good complementary part of an offense, and I think he's done it. First of all, let me separate two. As a punt returner, I think he's dynamic. I think he's one of the best. Statistically, he is the best, according to the NFL. So I think that he's given the Patriots a lift in that regard. I think he's I don't think he's an underrated or overrated player. I think he's a good complementary piece. I think he's done a nice job in an expanded role this season. And so far, knock on wood, he's been able to stay healthy and stay on the field. I think he is a good player, but I don't think he's, you know, Danny Amendola, I think, is a more dynamic player if he's healthy. I think he's able to make bigger plays and more often. But I don't think there's anything wrong with
Julian
Edelman.
Would the Patriots be 5-2 without Julian Edelman?
Hard to say, but probably.
The fact that you have to think about it says something. All right. That's this week's questions. Every week, send them to askbfw@patriots.com.